in the middle of the main field, I guess, near the main tent of the bushcraft show. And there's so much going on. There's people hitting stuff over there, probably forging as we speak. All the people selling stuff here, be it Ronnie Sunshine's or Alpkit, seem to be selling out. Bushcraft people seem to like to shop. Earlier on, I was walking through the kind of more crafty, creative, hands-on side of things, and somebody said, "That guy over there, Carl Lee, you should speak to him, because if society collapses, he's going to be one of the guys starting up his own..." I won't say city, because it'll be living in the trees, I guess.
Well, living in the woods, no doubt. Nice cave would do me quite nicely.
And you're actually an archaeologist, stroke historian, stroke what else?
A combination of the lot, really. I started off as an archaeologist, and that's what I trained in. But then I started specialising in the study of stone tools and primitive skills, and that was kind of a natural progression into bushcraft from there, because I kind of felt a fraud making these things and not knowing how they worked. So I started to experiment, and experimental archaeology is a huge field now in archaeology, but it blends perfectly with the bushcraft.
I was sat on my drive the other day, you're probably going to wonder where this is going, which is covered in rocks and stones and things, the kind of things you buy from the garden centre so that you don't have to do any gardening. And I picked up this big piece of flint and smacked it with another stone, and straight away I could see the makings of a primitive tool. I know very, very little about this. Just watching you for a couple of minutes today, I can see you've probably been doing this quite a while. Amazing tools coming out of rocks.
Thank you. Well, I've been doing it about 22 years. Actually, before I went to university, I was flint knapping. But simple tools don't take a great deal of work. All you need to produce is a sharp edge, and ideally a serrated edge, and then you've got a meat cutting tool. But they refined it. They refined it so incredibly well over hundreds of thousands of years. And for me, the most amazing thing is the fact that flint knapping is all about the use of angles. And once you get those striking angles kind of lodged firmly in the noggin, you're away. It's just a case of practice, just like any other skill. Anybody can do it. It's just practice and trial and error.
Now, why is this so important? Why is a cutting tool this vital?
If we're talking about our earliest ancestors in Britain, they could break a piece of flint and have a sharp edge, but a very sharp edge on a piece of flint is incredibly brittle. You can break it with your fingernail. So obviously, if they were butchering an animal and they hit the bones while they were butchering, they're going to fire tiny pieces of flint into the meat they were going to eat. And it may not hurt on the way in, but it's certainly going to sting on the way out. So they started making serrated edges and slightly more robust edges, and that's where the hand axe came in.
Wow.
Then in later times, they adapted the cutting edges to different materials, because as they became more intelligent, that technology just bloomed.
So the evolution of the cutting tool is directly related to the evolution of our own human minds.
Absolutely. The mind's one of the most important things, because until we started to procure good quality meat, smashing up bones for the bone marrow and scavenging meat from lion kills, we had a very large gut to process lots and lots of plant material. But then we started to eat the meat, and that was like rocket fuel, so we didn't need a huge digestive tract. That started to shrink, and that freed up all of that surplus energy for the brain. So we actually owe a great deal to these stone tools and our earliest ancestors.
Now, in your own survival stroke bushcraft practices right now, what do you carry on your waist or in your pocket when it comes to a tool of some description?
Well, if we've got to be realistic, we're living in a modern age. If we're running bushcraft courses, we need to have the specialist kit to teach people how to use that. But we're actually, with Forest Bushcraft, we're running courses that specialise in primitive skills. So rather than being dependent on modern cutting edges, the courses we're going to be running are nomadic courses. We're going to be moving around from cave to rock shelter to forest setting, and along the way we'll be collecting materials, making our own knives and axes, and also making bows and collecting what we need to eat along the way. So it's as close as we can get to our hunter-gatherer ancestors, with a bit of realism involved too.
Okay, so I take it you've read the book The Road?
No, I haven't.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, imagine you have. Huge environmental catastrophe, not really explained in the book, but suddenly there is the great need to escape the marauding gangs of cannibals and people desperate to survive to the extent that they will take other lives. Mm-hmm. What's the first thing you'd do?
I'd probably hang myself.
That's funny. That's kind of what happened.
That's not what
you
expected, really. Because I get so many people saying to me, "I'm going to come and live with you when it all goes pear-shaped." And essentially, yeah, okay, you've got a bit of breathing space. Head for the woods, find a cave. But as soon as they've finished eating each other, they're going to start spreading out, and then you're on the menu. So I think it's when it goes wrong, it's going to go very wrong, and you don't want to be here to see it, really.
Okay, so yeah, next time I ask this question, I'll probably go for the bit wrong scenario.
Okay, the bit wrong scenario is completely different. Then we're going back to, again, primitive skills, and you can survive very comfortably. People think about Ice Age communities struggling to get by. It's a hard life. It wasn't at all. They were very good at squirreling away what they'd found and what they were hunting. In the Ice Age, they had freezers. They'd just dig a hole in the tundra landscape and freeze their food. So they were incredibly intelligent people. We call it primitive technology. I think limited technology would be more realistic. They were only limited by the materials they had. You can survive quite comfortably with plenty of time to sit around the fire and have a chat and a drink.
Tell some stories at the end of the day.
Ferment, yeah.
Thank you very much indeed.
You're very welcome.
Give a plug to the company you're working with at the moment.
Yeah, I'm working with Forest Bushcraft, so if you want to find us, we're forest-bushcraft on the internet, and we're glad to hear from anybody that's interested.
Thank you very much. Forest-bushcraft.co.uk. Cheers, man.
Thanks very much.